Good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord on this Sunday. I believe it's January 22nd, this Sunday morning. We are excited that you are here with us at Manifest Church, watching the live stream, or later on you'll listen or watch or listen to the podcast. We want to welcome you to Manifest Church, and we pray that God will minister to you today. This is a special day. Today is a day that Christians across our country and around the world come together to proclaim to the world that God values the lives of those who are in their mother's womb. And this is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And my message today is going to be called The Sanctity of Life. And I want to really take some time to share with you some things that are important. I believe that if we're going to change this death culture that we live in, it's going to have to come from the pulpits of America. It's going to have to come from pastors declaring the truth and love to their congregation, calling people to obedience to God's word. The Bible tells us in the Great Commission that we're to teach those we disciple, we're to teach them everything that Jesus has commanded. And we're to teach them not only to teach it to them so they have information, but it says teach them to observe. That means through our example, the way we live, we need to teach the body of Christ to observe what Jesus commands. That means to walk in obedience to his word. And so I'm excited to do that. I want to make a declaration, a statement about how we stand at Manifest Church. And as the pastor of Manifest Church, I declare that we stand with millions of Christians to speak up for the life of the children in the womb. Our stance against this issue of killing of children in the womb comes from understanding the creator of heaven and earth values the lives of children in the womb. That is our stance. That's what we believe according to God's word. And I want to really bring you up to speed on that. I want to show you what God's word says. Let's pray as we come together this morning and we look at the word of God and we go through the scriptures. I don't really have a main text. I'm really going to hit the subject of the sanctity of life. And we're going to go through different parts in the Bible and show you how God values life and why we as Christians ought to do the same. And so let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for gathering us together. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us an opportunity to proclaim the gospel. Lord, we thank you for those who will watch or listen later. We thank you for those who are right here in this room, Lord, that you would strengthen our resolve, strengthen our faith, Lord, that you would shed your love abroad in our hearts to the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to use us in this generation to go and make disciples, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to equip those who are saved for works of ministry. Lord, use us to be an impact in this generation. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you are not a respecter of persons, Lord God, that you are willing to pour into those who are willing and obedient, oh God. And so I pray today that you'll have your way. Lord, speak through me. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to come upon me. I can't do this on my own. I don't have the wisdom or the capability. Make this simple man wise, Lord. Help me to bring your word in such a way that it brings clarity and understanding to the sanctity of life. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So kind of want to tell you what happened, give you some recent history. So some of you are aware, some of you may not be. Last year, even though in our country was a very difficult time, we have seen a shift from our leadership and how they want to govern from the White House all the way down. We have seen a shift towards against God and his rule and his reign. We see all kinds of regulatory things taking place that are very ungodly, very wicked, and it's coming from the White House all the way through our governments and actually being used within government and the private sector are now working together to bring about this wicked agenda. And so you need to be aware of this as Christians. You need to understand that the government is now in cahoots with corporate America, and they are using the bully pulpit of the government federal law to be able to come against anyone who has a dissenting view, anyone who sees the world through a different lens. Anyone who sees the world through a biblical lens begins to be the enemy of the state. I want you to understand that. And you might be thinking, man, what are you talking about, Pastor? We just started this morning. You need to understand this is the times we live in. And you got to understand that the state in its condition right now, with people filling those roles of leadership, are many of them are ungodly. Many of them do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them do not have a fear of God in their hearts. Many of them are atheists. Many of them do not care about right or wrong. They're pragmatists. They're only looking for what works, and they're also looking to gain, create power and all those kinds of things. So we see this in our world. But even in the midst of all that in our nation, yet we saw God use his people to challenge the constitutionality of Roe versus Wade, and that was codified into law several years ago, over 49 years ago, which legalized the federal government legalized abortion basically on demand. And the Supreme Court justices on June 24th of last year, 2022, overturned this ungodly decision, which put the decision back into the hands of the American people. And this is pretty awesome. In the midst of the things I just mentioned and how there's a shift and we are going through it, and if you are awake and you're not drank the Kool-Aid of this world and you are not asleep spiritually, you understand there has been a major shift, and it is moving very quickly into a place we wish never happened, but it is happening. And we can see these things taking place in our world. And so it was awesome to see that God from heaven hit the enemy right blindsided, not realizing, oh my goodness, they're about to overturn Roe versus Wade. And so anyway, again, it was a victory for the side of the sanctity of life, yet there's still more to go, because this was just so that the federal government will stay out of it. Now it's up to the states, it's up to the people of these states to begin to create laws that would make it illegal, or in some situations, they're creating it, making it and codifying it to become legal in those states. Matter of fact, there are certain, from the White House, they even have an agenda to be able to fund money to people who want to have abortions and ship them to those states that are for it. So we have we have wickedness all over, from all you name it. States are doing the same thing. Governors are issuing these kinds of things to bring people to their state who want to have an abortion. I mean, it is truly a time of darkness, yet light is still shining. You know why? Because you cannot stop God. He's an unstoppable God. And his plan will not be thwarted. He laughs. The Bible says in Psalm 2, let me read this to you. I want you to know this. He says this. Let me look here. Psalm chapter 2. He says, in Psalm chapter 2, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? But the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. And I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. I mean, the Bible says that God laughs at people when they conspire against his plan, when they think they're winning and they think that things are going their way. God laughs at them because his plan will come to pass. You can book it, Daniel, right? Like old saying, book it, Daniel, that it is going to come to pass. His will be accomplished, even in the midst. Well, as human beings, we look around us, man, this is all bad. We see all kinds of stuff going on. God is going to bring about his will on this earth, and he's going to use his people to continue to be a light and salt to this nation and to the nations of the world. So this ruling, again, put now the federal government is out of it. The people of each state, through their representative government, could begin the process of making abortion illegal. And we understand in most states this will be an uphill battle, because the people have been convinced that abortion has to do with a woman's reproductive right. There is nothing reproductive about killing a baby in the womb. Nothing. And we need to, you got to understand, our enemy changes words in order to make it palatable. He changes, palatable, he changes terminologies, he changes it so that you are first of all deceived because you don't understand what they're trying to say. They take a word abortion out of it. They use words like fetus. Well, we know actually the word, if you understand the language it came from, fetus actually means baby. But yet Americans, that's not our, that is not our lingo. So fetus to us doesn't mean baby. It means a cell. It doesn't mean that that's a life in the womb. Okay. And so they use that in order to cause women and to cause men to see, oh, that's not a big deal. We're not really doing any harm to anyone. We just don't want this unplanned pregnancy, right? And anyway, these are some of the things they use. So anyway, Pastor, why are you talking about this? Because this Sunday, we're trying to make the church continue to remind you and make you aware of what is happening and why we as Christians, why should believers defend the lives of children in their mother's womb? Why is it important for us to do so? Because I want you to know, we have recent elections that we had in Georgia, they placed a pastor to be their senator who believes in abortion and killing of innocent life. And he declares it from his pulpit, and he tries to use the Bible to twist why he believes what he believes. And the Bible is clear. His condemnation has been written about long ago. Those who believe such things and add to the word and take away from the word, they will stand before God and give an account. The Bible says not everyone who should want to be a teacher, because we're going to be held to a high accountability before God. And it's incredible. And you see, people who are in churches in America are gathered around these type of ministers who give them what their itching ears want to hear. And therefore, as a result, we see what is taking place. And then we have the other preachers in America who are just quiet. They won't say nothing. You know why they won't say nothing? Because they don't want to lose their little kingdoms that they're trying to build. They don't want to lose all that they have. They don't want to lose the crowds, because I guess Jesus is all about the crowds, right? It's interesting that they're silent, they're quiet, and therefore people don't hear God's perspective in the matter. Although it's truly your personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are held accountable as leaders to declare to you what God says as well. That is part of our role as pastors. We're to feed the lambs. Jesus told Peter, hey, if you love me, feed my lambs. Feed them. Feed them what? The word of God. Show them what the word of God has to say. He has something to say about everything. He's the creator of heaven and earth. And if we're gonna turn the tide of this death culture, it's got to start with the church. It's got to start with God's people repenting. It's got to start with God's people crying out. We got to repent of our own sin. It's got to start from the pulpit. It's preaching a gospel that is real and alive, not a dead gospel that is all about comforting men all the way to hell. That's not the gospel. The Bible says Jesus died for our sins, man. And guess what? We as men and women, we sin against God, and we need a Savior. Jesus didn't just come and die on a cross for no reason. He died because our sin was a stench before a holy God. God wanted to destroy this world, but God, who is rich in love and mercy, sent His Son to become the propitiation for our sin. He was our substitute. Jesus paid our debt that we owed God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so as Christians, we need to understand why we need to be. And as a pastor, I want to stand before you, and I want to stand before my God and remind you of what He says concerning life. And the first reason we need to be defending the life of the unborn, the lives in their mother's womb, is because God, our Heavenly Father, values the life of children. He values the life of the unborn. Go with me to Exodus chapter 21. I want to show you something. In Exodus chapter 21, I want you to see what God has to say concerning His law. When He gave a law to Israel, He said something in Exodus 21, verses 22 through 23. Let's read this. He says, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, then you shall pay a life for life. In other words, God is saying, listen, if two men get in a scrap and they're fighting and hit a pregnant woman and she falls and she has a miscarriage, then gets hit and she gives birth to a kid and the child lives, you're fine. Just pay for any damages that could have happened to that lady and fees, those kind of things. But if as a result of that scrapping of those two men and that woman's child dies, then they're to be put to death. Why? Because they killed a life. And this was a life that was in a womb they killed. We have these laws in the book. Do you know that if a drunk driver hits a woman who's pregnant in a car, that they basically have killed someone in that womb? It's a double homicide. It's crazy that we can't even see that. I mean, we would say, well, because it's medically done, it's okay. Are you kidding me? No, it's not okay. Why? Because God values that life. And Jeremiah, man, everybody knows the prophet Jeremiah. They love this. Many Christians quote this. In Jeremiah 1:5, look at this, what it says. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. That's Jeremiah 1:5. God, before Jeremiah was formed in the womb, God knew him, and God had consecrated him already. God had already began to do that work in Jeremiah, in his mother's womb. Look at the psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 13 through 16. Look what it says here. Let's go over there to Psalm 139. Go ahead and turn there. Psalm 139. Verse 13 through 16, it says here, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. I mean, God, you can see the psalmist just declaring how awesome God is and his what he's doing in those children in the womb. Man, I'm telling you, you got to see that God is involved in creation. God is involved. He has fearfully and wonderfully made us, man. You know, God spoke to Jeremiah in his youth and revealed to him that he, God, was involved in forming him in his mother's womb. The psalmist declares God's involvement in forming him in his mother's womb, we just read. This revelation gives us insight to the value God places on the process of birth. When you see how intimate God and his thoughts towards those babies and the plans that he has for them, and you can see from the description of the psalmist, you can see, man, God is awesome and he is involved in the forming of that life. One of the first commandments he gave to mankind in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, is to be fruitful and multiply and increase in number. Guys, this is God's command. God commanded humanity to be fruitful and multiply. From the garden, from the very beginning, God wanted man to be fruitful and to multiply in the earth. Look at what Psalm 127:3 tells us. Children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Hallelujah. Do you know that? That your children are a heritage of the Lord and a fruit, and the fruit of the womb, a reward to you as parents, that God is rewarding you with these children. Why? Because God wants godly offspring. God wants us to raise up children who fear and love him. That is, That is awesome. And through that multiplication, we fill the earth and we continue to populate this planet when we obey God. Psalm 22:10. From birth, I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. The psalmist writes again. I mean, from his mother's womb, you have been my God. That's what he said. So God values life. I know, Pastor, we kind of know this. Oh, do we? Yeah. Do we? That's the question, do we? I'm reminding you of what you should already know. That is one of my primary roles, is to remind you of what you should already know. So God values life. Well, what is the issue? The issue is we have an adversary. We have an enemy, and he doesn't value life. Satan comes to kill. This is our adversary. Jesus tells us the truth about Satan, Satan's goal for humanity. Let me tell you what Jesus said in John 10:10. In John 10:10, Jesus tells the truth about Satan's goal. He says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus is telling us that Satan, he is the thief. This is who he's talking about. He's not just talking about just an average thief. No, he's describing Satan here. He's saying he is a thief, and his role and his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. He has been doing this from the beginning. His goal was to bring the destruction of humanity. You got to understand that Satan is into depopulation, and God wants humanity to be fruitful and multiply. Satan is the one who wants to depopulate the earth. And he wants to use men and all kinds of different science and all kinds of things, using those things in order to depopulate the earth. But God has commanded man to be fruitful and multiply. And they use fear tactics. Oh, I mean, there are people today that are in the elite class who believe this nonsense, who believe that we need to bring the earth's population back to what it was 500 years ago. That is crazy. That is man trying to be God. That is man trying to think that, oh, well, because we have too many people, we're going to run out of stuff. Let me tell you something. That isn't going to happen. You know why? Because God is faithful, and he promised that seed time and harvest time will be until the end. This is not going to happen. But they use these fearful tactics. They use all kind of pseudoscience in order to do this. And therefore, people in their ignorance go through this. This is why the abortion industry is a billion-dollar industry, because they're using fear and they're using terminology to twist the minds of people. And they've done it from our educational system. They've done it through the pulpits. They've done it through all kinds of means in order to convince the people that it's okay to kill a life in the womb. But I want to tell you today, it's not okay. Because when you do that, you align yourself with Satan. And I know this, in your heart of hearts, you don't want to be aligned with Satan. I know that's not your intent, but the Bible is clear that the wages of sin is death. And it's clear that when we are operating in fear because of unknown and not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow, I'm pregnant, I don't know what to do. Listen, Satan is a liar, and he's going to bring that and bring you to such a place that you just give up and say, I'll just kill this child and get it out of my way. He's a liar, and he's been lying from the beginning. The Bible says Satan, when he speaks, he lies. That's his native tongue. See, the killing of children is not new under the sun, guys. It's not something new. This isn't something that's new. Matter of fact, the pagan nations did this, and even Israel did this when they forsook the Lord and worshiped idols. One of the idols that the pagan nations were worshiping, and it was the name of this idol was Molech, and the name of the idol, god of the Ammonites, to which human victims, particularly young children, were offered in sacrifice. Its image was a hollow, brazen figure with the head of an ox and outstretched human arms. It was heated red hot by a fire from within, and the little ones placed in its arms to be slowly burned while to prevent the parents from hearing the dying cries, the sacrificing priests beat drums. Can you imagine? These little babies were put on these iron hot things, and the priests were beating drums in order to silence the cries so the parents couldn't hear their babies crying for help as they were being burned alive. This was wicked. These were wicked practices. These were things God drove those nations out. God does not desire for you to kill your children. God does not desire for you to destroy your offspring. God, the Bible, remember, we just read, children are a heritage from the Lord. God values the lives of those little ones. And we need to have his heart. We need to value. We don't need to be fearful of what we can do. Oh, you know how hard it is to bring a kid in this world? You know, all these kinds of foolishness that they put out there. Let me tell you something. If God allows you to have a child in this time, be blessed. Rejoice and give God thanks because he rewarded you to care for a little one and to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Don't be fearful. If you're a Christian, don't be fearful. Why? The Bible says God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The Lord will be with you. He will not abandon you. He'll be with you. He will be with you. So understanding that God values life and understanding that we have an adversary that wants to take life away from this planet, that wants to destroy. Why? Do you understand that you and I are image bearers? He hates God and he wants to get rid of humanity. Satan hates God, and so the only way he can get at God is by destroying humanity that he loves and he created. You got to understand, God has chosen to love us. I mean, we listen to John 3:16 and don't realize that God didn't have to do this. He didn't have to choose to send his only son for you and for me. God could have left us in our sin and done what he did with a generation before and flooded this whole thing and destroyed everything that was living. But God made a promise to Noah that he wouldn't do that again. And God made a promise in Genesis that one day the woman's child, she'll give a son and he will crush the serpent's head. And Jesus is that child. Jesus is that one who came and he crushed Satan's attempt to destroy all of humanity. And he's still trying to do it, even though he's defeated enemy. Why? Because he hates God and he don't want people to know. He don't want you to know. You might come across this and you might be like, oh, this, he doesn't want you to see. He doesn't want you to see that when you take that life in the womb, you're killing innocent life. You're shedding innocent blood, and God will not take that lightly. You need to understand we've killed millions per year in this nation. And God wants to turn the tide. So what should be our response? What should we do about this? How do we respond to understanding that God values life? What do we do? What is our response? What are we to do? Well, here's our response. The first thing I want to tell you, we must repent and turn our hearts back to the Lord. See, if you've had this idea that it's okay and you know, I don't know about this, man, you need to repent right now. You need to say, God, forgive me, and I confess to you that you value life, and therefore I want to value life. Therefore, I don't want to support these things anymore. I want to turn my heart from that wicked thought and that wicked understanding. I want to take those thoughts captive and bring them to the obedience to Christ. I want to follow you with my whole heart. And therefore, that is repentance, that's saying no to your old way of thinking and yes to Christ. You got to repent of your own support of this wicked practice of abortion. Maybe you're involved in it. Maybe you're someone who is working in an abortion clinic and a parent, Planned Parenthood. Maybe you're someone who is a doctor who is doing this. Maybe you're someone who's a nurse and helping these women do these things and giving them all kinds of things to be able to do what is evil. And you're now just seeing it for the first time. God has opened your eyes. You ought to praise God because he loves you and he wants to save you. God wants to deliver you from that sin and he wants to bring and make you a conduit of life and not a conduit of death and destruction. He wants us to repent of that, turn away from it and begin to do what is right. We need to, man, if you're a young person, if you're a woman who's involved in abortion, and I'm telling you, Satan has deceived so many that will even boast of how many abortions they've had. It's a breaking of God's heart. Do you not know that God wants to save you from this death culture? God wants to save you. That's why he sent his son. And we need to repent of involvement in abortion and say, God, I confess to you, please forgive me and wash me clean of this sin. Cleanse my conscience, Lord, and help me to do now what is right. Help me to support life and not destruction. As Christians, we need to repent of our silence against abortion. Some of you have been silent. Some of you have not opened your mouth. Some of you don't say nothing. You just let it be. You won't talk to your relative. You won't talk to your family member. When those moments come up, maybe you're in a conversation and they start talking about, oh, I'm okay with abortion. And all this kind of, we'll have the conversation, say, wait a minute. You're not seeing this picture. You're not seeing that that's a life in there. You're not seeing this. You're not understanding there's a life that you're saying that doesn't mean anything. Oh, it has much meaning to God and it should have much meaning to us. And so we need to have that. We need to do that. We must be about making disciples because there is no law that can bridle the sinful heart of humanity. You need to understand that. There's not a law that we can make that can bridle the sinful heart. Jesus Christ is the only remedy for humanity's sin problem. He is the only one that can come and change the heart of a murderer. Only Jesus can do that. Oh man, and you know what? He's been doing it and he will continue to do it. And we got to believe that as we go and meet people wherever we are. And it's not just about the abortion thing, but let me tell you, you might meet that person not knowing they are about that. And when they come to Christ, they begin to look at the scriptures and you begin to teach them the word of God. And they start to realize, wait a minute, what have I been thinking? I've been a part of destruction. I've been a part of destroying lives. Oh, I don't want to do that. I want to be a part of what Jesus is a part of. I want to be a part of valuing life. I want to be a part of restoring people. I want to be a part of being a reconciler. I want to be that. I don't want to be about a death culture. I want to be about a life culture. Why? Because life has come. Jesus Christ is the life of all men. And I want to be a part of that. And that's what happens. God is faithful. And we got to be faithful. And then we need godly men. We need godly men. And God, as godly men, we must be about restoring biblical manhood. We can start with our own children, with our own sons. We can start to do this. We can start teaching our sons about sexual purity. We can begin to teach them, listen, your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and you're not to go and defraud your sister and having sex with her outside of marriage. Why? Because that could put something into motion where you may have a child as a result of you disobeying God. Why? Because sex is wonderful, but it's in the confines of marriage. And guess what? Marriage, defined by the Creator, is between one man and one woman for life. And therefore, when two people come together to have sexual intercourse, a baby can come about as a result. Why? Because that is how God put in our bodies the way to be reproductive, have a reproductive way to be able to multiply in this earth. It's not rocket science, man. But you know what? When we give in to our flesh and our sinful desires, then we get outside of the plan of God and we go out there. And as young men, I know this, man. As a young man without Christ, maybe you're taught, oh, go have as many women as you want. Let me tell you something. That is ungodly. That is not the will of God for you. Excuse me. God does not want you to have multiple partners. God wants you to have one person for the rest of your life, that you commit to them, and you put a ring on her finger, and you marry them before him, and you commit to have covenant with that woman. That's God's plan, and he wants you to have all the sex you want in that marriage. Hallelujah. God wants you to have all the sex you want in your relationship with your wife, young man. And as godly men, we need to remind our young men the truth of God's word. We need to help them understand what it means to be a man, and a man how he takes responsibility for his actions. And if they did go outside of the will of God, they're to repent and they're to take responsibility for what they had done. You see, we oh, I don't want them to have to. Let me tell you something. It's already happened. And now it's time to teach them, hey, you decided to do this. You decided to do what married people do. So now you need to be responsible. You need to take responsibility for that action. Young man, you're going to be there to provide for this family. We're not going to allow the state to be the provision for this young lady. You are the husband. You are the one now to make that, to be there and be a part of this family. Why? Because let me tell you something. If a father is not in the home, it brings destruction to children and to women. God designed families to have a mother and a father so that we can raise up godly offsprings, children who love and fear God because they see it in their parents. We can start to do restore biblical manhood and help young men not defraud young women in this. We can support ministries like one in my city called Daybreak Crisis Pregnancy Center. You can help them. Maybe in your city, find out what is the ministry that is there that is trying to save lives, that they're out there and you can maybe be someone, a counselor. You can be someone that can be there to help and pray for people and say, you don't have to do this. We have a little pamphlet. We have a place where you can see the baby in your womb. We have ways to help you through this process so that you can make an informed decision. You're not just going with what they're trying to deceive you into, because there are consequences, man. There are women today who are hurting in their hearts and minds and their bodies physically as well, who are dealing with consequences for those actions of abortion, of aborting a child. They're dealing with their suffering. But see, they won't tell you that. Satan doesn't want you to see that. He just wants you to see, hey, you're going to get rid of the problem. No, that baby's not the problem. That baby's a reward. That baby's a treasure. Because that baby is innocent. That baby has nothing to do with the decisions two people made or what happened to someone through someone's sin. That is not that baby's fault. They have no fault of their own. They're innocent lives. And you can maybe help. You can do all kinds of things. We can help women who are pregnant and feel alone because their father doesn't want to take the responsibility, because the baby's father doesn't want to help. Then we can come alongside and be there for them and help them. And older women are to encourage her and to help her and bring the good news of Jesus to her and help her and restore her faith, restore her health, restore her to a right place. And pray for God to do a work in that man's life. And if not, God is faithful. He'll take care of them. And lastly, I want you to know we have challenges ahead. See, even though Roe versus Wade was overturned, it doesn't mean that abortion is done. It is still in this land and it's still in many state laws. Matter of fact, in my state of South Carolina, recently, in a 3-2 decision, the Supreme Court struck down the heartbeat bill that prohibited an abortion from being performed once a fetal heartbeat was detected. You see how this uphill battle is? You need to understand. Some of you don't understand, but South Carolina is a red state. It's a Republican state. Isn't the Republicans' platform a platform of protecting life of the unborn? Do you know that there are those who are Supreme Court justices who are Republicans who are okay with this? And that's why it was overturned. They overturned a bill that said that it would be illegal once a heartbeat can be detected to kill that child. And they did it through a slim majority. And listen what that slim majority justice said. This woman, she cited privacy, a woman's privacy. Look what she said. We hold that the decision to terminate a pregnancy rests upon the utmost personal and private considerations imaginable and implicates a woman's right to privacy. The majority opinion written by Associate Justice Kay Hearn noted, while this right is not absolute and must, you know, they have to put that there because, you know, they're giving people they're forcing people to take certain medications right now, and it's been happening, right? So they have to put this little caveat. But when it comes to abortion, it's my body, my choice. But when it comes to putting something into your a body that you don't want, that's medically induced, you don't want that in your body. That, oh, that cannot be your body, my, because it's not absolute. But the killing of an innocent life, you can do whatever you want. That's privacy issues. There's the caveat. While this right is not absolute and must be balanced against the state's interest in protecting unborn life, this act, which severely limits and in many instances completely forecloses abortion, is an unreasonable restriction upon a woman's right to privacy and therefore unconstitutional. Again, we have an uphill battle. You see, we still need to bring the light, because there are people who claim to be protectors of life who really aren't. They're wolves in sheep clothing. There are people who will tell you to your face all that, but when it comes to decisions like this, they will make decisions like this to continue to propagate this death culture. And we need to be those who stand firm and continue to stand and say, no, we will not stop until children are safe in the womb. That's what we ought to do as Christians. And we ought to go and bring the gospel so that hearts can be changed. And you know what? When hearts are changed, it'd be no problem for people to obey laws like that. It won't be no problem. Why? Because they will love the Lord and they'll fear him. So let's pray. Let's end right now. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray for the person right now who's watching or listening, who is convicted by your spirit. Maybe they've been involved. Maybe they had an abortion. Maybe, Lord, this message isn't to condemn them. This message is so their eyes can be opened and that they can come to the lifeline, Jesus Christ. He wants to save them. He wants to bring salvation to them. He wants to deliver them and wash away the sin that was a part of their life. He wants to bring healing where there's hurt. He wants to bring a clarity where there was where there was deception. Jesus wants to save them from their sin. That is his name. That's what it means. He came to save his people from their sin. And if you're listening, please hear the voice of the Lord. Please respond to the power of the Holy Spirit within you, convicting your heart. That conviction ought to cause you to want to be redeemed, ought to cause you to say, Lord, forgive me for my sin. Cleanse me of my sin. Today I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. And the Bible says anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And if you're a believer and you've somehow were given to the spirit of the age in that you believe that lie, or you were asleep, or you've been silent, or maybe you thought, yeah, I guess abortion's up really up to the person, the woman, and all that kind of stuff that you believe from the news and the propaganda that's being pushed by a satanic mindset. Today's a day of repentance for you as well. Today, God is trying to open your eyes to see that that's an innocent life and it's worth protecting, because they're a reward, they're a heritage from God. And our adversary wants to destroy those lives. He wants to depopulate this world because humanity bears God's image. Even though it may be marred right now, but we still bear his image. We were created, as in Genesis, he said, let us create man in our image. In the image and likeness, man was created in the image of God. We bear the imago Dei of God. We, though it be marred because of sin, we are still his image bearers. And Satan wants to destroy that. And as Christians, we ought to be a part of restoring that through the message of reconciliation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that's you today, would you, right where you are, would you just confess that to the Lord? I don't want to be silent about this. Help me to do this, Lord. Help me to speak the truth in love. Help me to bring grace and truth to it. Help me to be one who is faithful and declaring and standing for life, for the sanctity of life, Lord. From the womb to the tomb, Lord. That's your heart, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do in these days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.